Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness with purity of purpose. We realize that many may be offended by the encouragement to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church, but it is our hope that many will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We bring this to you, for we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about the future. I mean, your future. And I'm not talking about the near future, but a long ways down the road. Let's say maybe 100,000 years, maybe 1 million years from now. You know, way, way into the future. Now, I'm assuming that you're a Christian and that you love God. I'm assuming that you love Jesus Christ with all your heart. Because if you don't, the future won't mean much to you. However, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've got, shall we say, an exceptionally long future ahead of you. But is your future assured? Are you absolutely certain that 100,000 years down the road, you aren't going to have a problem? Of course, you would be quick to answer me that your future is most certainly assured because you have the promises of God of eternal life with Him. You would probably tell me that to worry about the future is a little ridiculous. Well, I'm prone to agree with you. I also expect that when I get 100,000 years down the road, my eternal life with Jesus will be just as secure then as it will be when Jesus Christ returns in the clouds of heaven. We know that the Bible tells us that the promises of God are yea and amen. We know we can trust God absolutely, positively, to fulfill His word to us. But you see, the reason I brought the subject up in the first place is not just to see if you are certain of your future, but rather to consider the reasons why your future is secure. If we look at human beings, we can quite easily realize that human beings can make a lot of promises. However, unlike God, human beings are not all-powerful. Human beings might mean well, but it's a well-known fact that even your best friend can let you down. I think you can look at things in your past and recognize several instances where people have let you down, even people who were very sincere. But although people might mean well, they just don't have the ability within themselves to make everything happen the way they want. For example, if you are a parent, you probably learned early in your parenthood to be careful what you promised your children or how you promised them. Children can get really disappointed when you promise them something and then something else comes up and gets in the way of your promise. I can remember when my children were quite small and I had promised my one daughter something and then because of unusual circumstances, I was unable to keep my promise. She was just a little girl at the time, but she understood that I had promised her something. When I tried to explain to her that we couldn't do what I had promised because of other obligations, she didn't understand. She was very disappointed. Right then, I made a vow to myself that in the future, I would only promise that which I was sure I could fulfill. It was a good lesson for me because it helped me to realize my weakness. It showed me that I was just human and not God. And I certainly did not have the power that God has. Now, if you're going to make promises, it helps if you are all-powerful. You see, when God makes promises, He doesn't have to worry about something very important coming up and changing His plans to fulfill His promises to you. When God makes promises to you, He will be able to fulfill them because there cannot be any unexpected situations to arise. God knows all and sees all. He knows exactly what the future holds. But we humans don't know what the future holds, that is, unless our future lies in the hands of God. That's the way we can be absolutely certain of our future. If God holds our future in His hands, then our future is secure, because God is the Almighty God. Now, I asked you about your future, which is down the road about 100,000 years, and I'm sure that you would respond that there could not possibly be a problem ever, because your future is in the hands of God. But what would you do if 100,000 years down the road, another evil person like Satan raised his head up and began to give you problems? You know, this world is full of evil, and because of that, there's a lot of evil things that take place. The world is not generally a very safe place to live in. There are always wars going on somewhere because somebody's trying to take what somebody else has when it doesn't belong to them. There are people out there who are power hungry. Ever since God created the earth and Satan was allowed to tempt mankind, evil has existed. Depending on where you are in the world and at various times, you may not be able to walk outside of your house without being in danger. Sometimes you're not even safe in your own home. There are people out there who would sometimes kill you for a cup of coffee or less. You might never know from one day to the next if your children are safe going to and from school. I think just about everyone agrees that wickedness in this world is becoming even more evil today than it was yesterday. But then, this is not something new. And I'm not trying to make you afraid. But what I am trying to do is to make you realize that unless you are firmly in the hands of an Almighty God, then your future is not secure. And I'm not talking just being in the hands of a powerful God, but I'm talking about an all-powerful God. I mean a God which is the only power, a God that will never have to worry about an enemy having even an itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny amount of power of their own. The God I serve, and of course the God you serve, is the only power that exists. That's why we call Him Almighty. The word all in Almighty means there is no power lacking. That means there is absolutely nothing that can come against God. There is no power on earth or in heaven or in any part of the universe that exists except God's own power. Sometimes people make the mistake of thinking that power can exist outside of God Himself. They think that because the devil is attempting to exalt himself above the throne of God, that he, Satan, somehow has power within himself. But that's not true. Just recently I spoke concerning King Nebuchadnezzar, who had a worldwide kingdom. He made the mistake of thinking that his power was his own. Of course, we know the story of how God humbled him, teaching him a lesson that there is no power but that which comes from the God of heaven. Let me read a scripture. It's in Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. It says, "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored Him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, 'What are you doing?'" You see, God does as He wills. There is no one that can question His will or keep His hand from doing what He wants to do. we know that the very same concept that describes the awakening of King Nebuchadnezzar is also descriptive of what will happen at the end of the earth when Satan also wakes up and realizes that all the power he thought he had was actually nothing at all. He will realize that he was stupid, just like King Nebuchadnezzar, stupid enough to think that there was some kind of power outside of God. In this world, Satan still reigns as the prince of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air, but this is only because God has given him this ability. In the end of days, there will be no power that will ever raise its head against God. And this is our assurance that 100,000 years down the road, we will not be taken by surprise by another evil devil. You see, it isn't just that God is powerful enough to destroy the works of Satan. That's not everything God is trying to get us to see. God is trying to get his people to realize that he is the only power and that no other power can exist. We have the assurance of our eternal life in God, not because God is strong enough to overcome any other power, but because God is the only power. In our universe, whether in the heavens above or in the earth beneath, there is no other power except God. There is no other strength, there is no other authority, there is no other ability than God. Nothing exists except that which God created and that which God allows to exist for a purpose. Now, let me give you something to compare with this concept, something to think about. In this earth, there are many people who would love to have the power. There are power-hungry people all over the world. They will kill and destroy and lie, cheat, and steal as necessary in order to exalt themselves above others. One of the seemingly tamest forms of warfare is politics. You yourself know how ruthless political forces can become. In our own country, our presidential races are largely a display of mudslinging. When a man or woman has a quest for power, there is imminent danger to personal integrity. Integrity very seldom survives a political race. However, this is mild compared to some countries. In some nations, the political race has nothing to do with mudslinging, but more to do with murder and intrigue. In history, there have been political forces who committed all kinds of atrocities in their quest for power. Now, I want you to take a look at something here. If you were to find yourself in the midst of political warfare, how would you go about giving allegiance to one person or another? I'm sure you can realize that if men are warring against one another for a kingdom, and you are forced to choose which side to be on, you would be in trouble if your side loses. What would you do if your side does not win? You could very well be destroyed because you sided with the loser. But you see, in this world there is always warfare between good and evil, and in this world, you always have to choose which side to be on. Those who choose to be on the side of evil will, of course, lose their eternal salvation. You won't, because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master. You'll be secure, because Satan will be destroyed. But then, think of this. If there could be another power that existed besides God himself, then 100,000 years down the road, you would have to always worry that another God might rise up. What if this evil foe, 100,000 years down the road, was just a little more powerful than Satan? Think about it. If Satan did have any power in himself, then why couldn't another devil rise up again in the distant future? And if you credit Satan with power of his own, but you think that his power was just insufficient to overcome God, then you would have to retain the possibility that maybe the next Satan could be just a little stronger. You see, if more than one individual has power, then there has to be levels of power. If there is strength, then there also are greater and lesser strengths. If there is authority, then there are those with greater or lesser authority. But the God we serve is not a God who shares power with any others, not even a teeny-weeny itsy bit. God's power is the only power that exists. This is why we can depend on His promises. We know that there is no power but that power which is of God. And this gives us the assurance that no other power can rise up 100,000 years down the road and take away the promises that God has given to us. In the church today, there is a tendency to believe that God is the greatest power, but that He is only supreme over all other powers. But that's not true. God is not only the most powerful thing you'll ever see, but He is also the only power you'll ever know. And this is our assurance that we will not have our hopes dashed to pieces 100,000 years down the road. If God is the only power that exists, then we know that down the road in the distant future, there could be no other power that could rise up. And this is exactly what God is trying to get Earth's people to realize. He is the only power that exists. Satan, along with King Nebuchadnezzar and a whole host of other people on the surface of this earth, have thought from time to time that they themselves had some form of power and that they could exalt themselves in that power. They thought they could lift themselves up, but they can't. No one, not presidents, nor kings, nor governors, nor religious leaders, have any power whatsoever unless that power specifically comes from God. Let me give you a simple example. Imagine yourself as living in a small community and find yourself in need of automobile repair. Imagine that your car needs to be hoisted up into the air in order to repair the undercarriage. Now, imagine that in this small community there is only one mechanic and one repair garage, and that in this repair garage there is just one automobile hoist, and it is the only automobile hoist that exists. For all intents and purposes, if you're going to get your car repaired, you must go to this mechanic and use his automobile hoist to lift up your car. If you don't, then you're not going to get your car fixed. You can say, "No, I'll find another way to hoist up my car." But then that isn't possible because there is only one automobile hoist in existence. Now, this might seem like an oversimplification, but this is the same thing with God's power. He is the only power in town. And if you want to be lifted up, you will have to go to God. There is no other game in town. Now, this might seem to be unfair, but remember, you don't make the rules. The rules are made by God because He is the power. In today's world, we humans always seem to think that it is somehow unfair if we aren't allowed to have alternate choices. We generally have choices about everything in life, from the choice of what kind of house to live in, what kind of car to drive, what kind of clothes to wear, what kind of job to work at, and especially what kind of food to eat. The choices are so numerous that we can't even begin to try out all the alternatives. But when it comes to God, there is no other choice. Either we accept God and His Son, Jesus Christ, or we can go begging. Even people who choose to serve Satan aren't really choosing another God. They are simply choosing not to worship the true God of heaven. In the final end of all things, they will find out that when they rejected God, they actually did not choose another God to worship, but in essence chose not to worship any God. This is because there actually is no God that exists except the God of heaven. Now let me give you something else to think about. If you accept God and accept Jesus Christ as Savior, then 100,000 years down the road, you will be able to have complete assurance that no other power can come along and bring God down from His throne. In this world, there is always another power ready to rise up and unseat the present ruling authority. And in this world, if you align yourself with the present ruling authority, you always have to worry that another person will come along and take away your ruler and subject you to the power of the new ruling authority. The fear we have is that the next ruler may not be as kind to us as the former one was. But in the universe in which we live, there is no other power that even exists except God alone. Therefore, no other ruler can exist unless God gives him that power. That's what has happened in this current time, and that's all that can happen in the future. God is in control, not because he is bigger than the other gods, but because he is the only God. As the Bible clearly states in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
We hope you are enjoying today's message. God is not just the biggest God, He is the only God. If you would like a copy of today's program, listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donations. We believe that God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
I'd like to take a couple of minutes to address a difficult concept in Scripture. This isn't a popular subject, and it generally is avoided by preachers because it has such a great tendency to cause irritation. But sometimes we have to look closely at things which we don't understand very well, so that we can realize that God is not only the sole authority in heaven and earth, but that He is also a righteous and holy God. Now, what I'm referring to is several portions of the Bible which describe God's command to the children of Israel to attack a neighboring city or nation which is extremely wicked and to annihilate every person, even sometimes including the annihilation of women, children, and nursing babies. One of the specific scriptures is 1 Samuel 15, verses 2 and 3. It says, "The Lord of hosts says, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now, go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Now, it's easy to see that this is an extreme situation, but what is really extreme is the wickedness of the Amalekites. It was the extreme wickedness of this group of people which made it necessary to completely destroy them. Notice that it was not only men and women and their cattle, but also the infants and even nursing children. But this is no different than the final judgment of God's wrath that will be poured out upon the wicked people of earth in the last days. It's not that God is uncaring or that God is unrighteous. The extreme example of 1 Samuel is given to us to demonstrate that the final intent of God is to destroy wickedness completely. But to a Christian, this should not be a reason for sorrow, but a reason to rejoice in the righteousness of God. The last thing we Christians want is to find wickedness still existing 100,000 years down the road. Now, one last point of interest in a very difficult subject. Jesus clearly states in Luke 14:26 that no one is worthy to be a follower of him unless they love God so much that they hate anyone who comes between them and God. This includes mother or father, sister or brother, wife, children, or even your own life. And this is not just because God wants you to love him at the expense of everyone else, but that God wants you to love him because to love him is to love righteousness itself. Righteousness cannot exist in peace for eternity unless wickedness is totally annihilated. It is God who will annihilate wickedness once and for all, and because of this, it is you and I who can have the assurance that no wicked thing can destroy our eternal happiness, even down the road after 100,000 years. Eternal life with God is only possible if the righteousness of God is the only power that will exist forever and ever and ever.
Thank you for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach ministry of Preparation Ministries. If you would like a copy of today's message, please contact us and ask for message number 131, God is not just the biggest God, He is the only God. We have available a list of our messages with a short explanation, CDs, and written transcripts. We have available a study on Revelation 13 entitled Image of the Beast, and a study on Revelation's short synopsis that John wrote in chapters 12 through 14. Our email address is preparationministries@gmail.com. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. If you would like to speak to Brother Smith, please call him at 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.